Yeah, very good. We find the right one for you to TV here. The highway, the highway is presumably open again, and took an Uber ride up to the Trenton train station Thursday and back on Friday, and traffic was fairly normal going up. And then Friday, what the heck happened? The weather, there were some traffic lights out in Northeast Philly that had nothing to do with the I-95 incident, and the ride took forever. But I-95 is apparently up and running again with the temporary lanes they built. Go ahead.
Okay, you know, I saw the story on the news about a reopening. They did say it was temporary. What are they going to do? Do you know what they're going to do? If that's temporary, I mean, they got to, how are they going to add to it without destroying what they already have? You know, that's, any kind of renovation is tough, you know, when you try to keep something operating, you know, buildings, roads, you know. Well, how are they going to do that? Are they just going to, like, you know, go off to the side, you know? Are they going to go, you know, east, west of it, and, you know, add more lanes and rebuild this one again? Well, what if there's a story about that, right? I'm glad you stayed on. Back to you, Brian. WSLN.
I haven't followed it closely. I think my understanding is that what they're doing is they're building another overpass parallel to the temporary roadway. And that's how it's being done. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Very good. You know, I know anytime they close the expressway, you know the expressway here. Frank, you know, if they close the expressway, you know, they have service roads, you know, and come back up because there's lights and things involved, but, you know, at least it's a way to do it. So you have an accident on 495, and that's it. They close that, you know, east side or the west side, and everybody jumps on the service roads. Do they? I'm going to assume that they do, but nobody said that they do on the news. That they have service roads at that area on I-95. Back to you, Brian.
I think they do, but I'm actually very rarely on 95. My wife doesn't drive on interstate. I don't necessarily pay enough attention on the really rare occasions I take Uber rides up and down that 95 in this area. I think they do, but I'm not certain. Comes out from whatever she's doing while I was still on the air. I'll ask her that because she's lived around here all her life. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Okay, thanks for that report. And always interesting to see how they're going to do all these things. Talking about 60,000 bridges that have to be rebuilt around, you know, throughout the country. So, it's amazing. I guess this is a good place to start. Anyway, thanks, Mike. I'm gonna sign. Catch you later. Probably next week. Back to you, Frank. WS.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of this infrastructure money out there to do stuff. The problem is the way this country does it, I'm sure you know this, is that every 30 to 50 years Congress appropriates a whole load of money to totally rebuild infrastructure. And then no money is to be appropriated for O&M, operation and maintenance, between the major infrastructure laws. So what happens every 40 or 50 years is everything falls to seed. Everything falls apart and has to be totally rebuilt. It's a lot easier to get money for essentially new construction than it is to operate and maintain stuff. And, I even got a small piece of infrastructure money to do the career coaching piece on one of these small projects to train new infrastructure workers. you know they're desperate when they drag us out of retirement to do stuff like that, right? Anyway, seriously, have a good night, sir. But you be too big.
WB2BX, WS2N. Yeah, I never forget, years ago they used to say, it's easy to get the politician for cutting. How do you have a blue ribbon cutting when you, you know, for something that's all maintenance, you know? Very true. Have a good night. We'll catch you next week. WS2N will be here. Bye.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. repeater. W2BL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2L repeater. W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 4:55 a.m. Partly cloudy. Temperature 68 degrees.
W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning, the time is 5 o'clock a.m. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Partly cloudy. Temperature 68 degrees.
W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 68 degrees. Thank you.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 71 degrees.
W2BL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7:55 a.m. Mostly cloudy, temperature 72 degrees.
W2BL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
D2KNB. D2KNB from N2RQ. K2KNB. K2KNB from N2RQ.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WB2EAV, listen.
Good morning, Ed. KD2KNH, replying.
Good morning, Charlie. You know, I got up, it was raining. And now, nope, 5 minutes ago the sun was out, now it went back in again. I don't know, it'll be a weird day, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I ran into the same thing about half an hour ago. I was on the way to a call and had downpours, and now the sun's out. The sky's still cloudy, so it'll be one of those kind of days, I guess.
Hold on a second. No, I was deciding whether or not to take a raincoat like 3 minutes ago, and it was brilliant sunshine. In that 3 minutes, it changed from brilliant sunshine to making me regret not bringing a raincoat. I didn't need it.
Well, you forgot your motto. You're supposed to always be prepared. Bring it with you just in case. I always have two umbrellas in the car because I usually can't find one. Usually find one or the other.
Yes, redundancy and backup.
Absolutely. Did you play any radio this weekend?
Yeah. A lot about play. I found a lot of it very frustrating. This year's field day had was at a new site, and there was some other issues, and some other stuff came up. So there was some frustration to it, but the answer to your question at the simplest level is absolutely yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and sorry to hear about the frustration at the field day site. Unfortunately, I couldn't do anything this year. I mean, my base hasn't been hooked up for months. I did hook it up for about half an hour and did a little FT8, but that was about it.
Back in 2017, the ASU FT891 came out, and I was absolutely blown away by what I saw about it. I went out and got one and used it, and it was exactly what they said it was, and I've always loved it. But I'm really an old CW guy. Though I must confess, full disclosure, I haven't been on the air in over a year from home, but in any event, I put that rig on sideband once, just to verify it actually worked. This weekend, I did use my rig and put it on the air on sideband, and I, like, increased my total time on sideband by about 50 or 1.
Well, that sounds fantastic. All the reports I've heard on that little radio were fantastic.
I was talking on this repeater a few days ago about somebody that we were sharing notes about how too many people just only want to talk about their radios, and I say that's almost like a failing, that they don't have anything interesting to talk about, and that's the fallback. And I say, I will talk about a radio when it's appropriate. If somebody wants my take on my FT891, you can't shut me up. Well, I'm not going to shove it down your throat.
All right, hard time hearing tones. We talk about radios. I don't talk about radios all the time. I mean, we talk about many other subjects. And might just be when they get on. That's part of it, the hobby and, the radio, your antenna, how you set up. And, we do get into other topics. They just have to change the conversation.
Well, my favorite, spoken sarcastically, it happens all the time. Somebody gets on and says, just wants a radio check, has a new radio, or maybe he's a duly licensed guy, and this is his first try, whatever. And they say, you're not doing that well. Let's assess the situation. Let's see which repeater you're on, roughly where you are, what kind of radio and antenna are you using. I say, what kind of radio? I make it very clear. I don't want to make a model number. I want to know, is it an HT? How many watts are you running? Is it a mobile station? And what generic antenna are you using? And I cannot stop them from giving me a long catalog of, model numbers that mean nothing to me.
Yep, I've noticed that as well. And I think it's just a symptom of being new to the hobby. Like anybody new to any hobby, they're going to go on and on and on about what models they use, and they just prattle on. I've noticed it.
I've gotten to the point of saying, is your antenna more or less than 19 inches long? More equal or less than 19 inches long?
Understandable, but yeah, you gotta handle new users with kid gloves because they're afraid to talk to begin with, and when they do talk, they just want to rattle off everything they have, like, this is my whole setup to get all the information out there.
Oh, here's an adorable story. I don't know, a week or so, a guy calls me, and I chat with him, and he says he's just gotten his license, one of those KE2 calls they just started issuing. And he said I was actually his first contact, and, he was thanking me profusely, for giving him a single report and a couple of pointers. And I tried to tell him, hey, look, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but this is what we do. And he was actually there at field day this weekend. I was chatting with him for a while. And I'm not sure I really believe him that what I did was not exceptional.
Well, again, new to the hobby. You know, I'm always on the road, so I'm always talking to the people that jump on and people that, you know, I just wait for dead air sometimes to see if somebody else will pick up. But more often than not, I end up picking them up and saying hello. We've only got a couple of minutes.
And then I often try to get on the Sunday night technical net, but the last couple of months just hasn't been in the cars. And last night, right now I am driving. Remember I said about what I was doing yesterday, but my rig is still in the car. Because last night I went on the tank net and got so involved, I never had the chance to unload my car. So I figured I'll do it tonight. But I haven't been on net for a while, and Roy, Net Control, actually said he noticed it and appreciated my return. And my comment was, well, I really shouldn't be here either, but I missed you too much.
Oh, again, I haven't been on net so long at home. Finally, I moved it and repainted it downstairs, and finally to a point where I can use it. So I've got to start getting back on to it. I missed a lot of info on that. No, life gets in the way of things. There's many other things going on.
All right, I'm parked. I have to run. Any parking comments?
Don't run. You might slip. Just take it slow. It's always nice to be there. You get into there.
You have a good day. WB2EV.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 10:55 a.m. Temperature 78 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark info.
Weekend was. I went down to the WDLI Mark field day. Had a lot of fun there. It was on Saturday. And wondering how you guys made out. And let me pass it over to Ed, and then we can see. I think Matt might also be in there.
All right, but the other station is Carrie. Yeah, I was at field day for a while on Saturday and for a while on Sunday. And I was running around causing trouble and things like that. Gary?
Morning, gentlemen. Actually, it just turned afternoon. So, Ed, did you? How did you cause trouble? Did you impede the radio transmission?
No. What I had was basically some frustrating experiences. I was requested to go work, what were we doing, 20 sideband, no, 40 sideband, and it was a radio installed in a van that was actually literally inherited, and the owner of the van had no instruction manual and no knowledge thereof. And we didn't think it was hooked up right, but nobody had any information on that. And it was basically an exercise in futility for an hour and a half until someone showed up who had used that read before and was able to take it over if it was going wrong. But by then I had to leave. Sunday I brought my own radio, and it turns out the reason why the setup that Hang on, let me drop it. The setup where one radio would go to the station didn't seem to be getting out. I put in my radio, was doing no better, even though all my meters, you know, I have a fully powered meter, SWR meter, they were showing fine. Then we realized the vertical antenna we were using was just a mast to hold up the radiator wire, and the wire itself, the actual radiating element, had fallen down, was lying on the floor. Once we put it back together again, things went a lot better, but the contest was almost over. Gary?
Not my turn. KE2QR, I believe, but I didn't get the name.
Okay, hi, this is Fred. F-R, Fred. Fred. And I think we're on FM, and you'll hear it the first time. And you know what, Ed? I was working on that radio, also 40 meters sideband on Saturday, and I did make a good handful of contacts, and the antenna was up and running at the time. But there was a little problem with the radio, because every once in a while it would you'd hear something behind it click, and the sound would have mute on it. But once I figured out where the band switch buttons were, and I controlled the resolution and put in a couple little filters, it worked out pretty good. Oh, yeah, I think I'm lost. I got to pay attention to the road. Let me pass it over to Ed from Fred.
Yeah, it sounds like the same radio. You'd be listening to somebody, you hear a click, and you lose all audio. And it happened too many times as we were trying to get a call. And there also was a problem with the automatic antenna tuner seemed to have a mind of its own and having no idea of how to understand how it's supposed to work. We weren't able to really figure it out. We were never really sure that we actually had it working properly. This was early on. This was like from 2:30 to 4. All right, Gary.
KATUTF, I'm sorry that you ran into all those problems. But perhaps you would have tested it out before you got on the air anyway. But, I'm sure it was just still a great experience. And I think the last Limark field day I was able to attend was, back in the 80s, late 80s. I think I went there with Mel, KSTG, or at least I met him there. That's a long time ago. And Fred, sorry I didn't get your name the first time around. You know, FM clarity doesn't compensate for age-related cognitive impairment. Go ahead.
Okay. So let me see. Okay. I got it. Wait, let me just get my bearings there. I think I'm good. Just one second. Cross Island, Parkway South. Okay. The mayor of home. the site that we were at was a new site. So, Gary, you were probably at the old site by the Bosie Center. And so we were out at Seaman Park in Seaford, and it was actually beautiful. I got there late on Saturday, so when I got there, everything was set up, but all the antennas are up, and it was really, really nice. That rig, I think, in the van was an ICOM 7000. So I was able to work. I worked Ontario, Connecticut, New York, and a few other stations, and it was fun. Left there with a hoarse voice. I was talking loud enough that they probably could have heard me without the radio. Over to you, Ed. That's part of the nuance of field day, right? To solve problems on the fly and get things working again. Emergency preparation. So good for you. Over to you, Ed, from KE2QR.
Contact. Up there goes George again.
Thank you, Ed. I believe Fred is in there and Gary is in there. Do you have a copy? I'm on an HT.
You're beautiful, but half the hour car for me to take it, George. WB2EAV, be back in 5.
Yeah, Fred, the experience you were having when you would hear the voice or the noise level totally drop out after a voice on a certain level, that was specifically what was called a VSC, voice squelch control option, that was set on the radio that shouldn't have been. What happened was, as soon as you went under S5, a squelch would come in automatically to give CW a priority. So that's why you would hear a click, probably picking up some of the CW splash around you, and it would set the voice squelch control, VSC, in. I disabled that on Sunday, but the antenna tuner did have a mind of its own. I noticed that, and antenna tuner did have a mind of its own.
See if I have it. Okay. Oh, okay. You know, I never operated that radio, so I was looking around for the controls, and there was a couple of sheets of paper stapled together. Maybe if I spent more time on it, I would have been able to found it. I thought it was something in the radio, some option, but that's very good. I'm just wondering, was that buried in a menu somewhere and not on one of the default buttons on the front panel? Whoever just had it, let me pass it to you, and then you pass it over to Gary.
KD2FIU. Yeah, that was in sub-menu 1 and 2 to reach it. I really don't want to go into it too deep. You didn't need to. By the way, I prepared the PDF document, and that printout was very, very vaguely light. So it was very difficult to work with that, but I didn't need it because I prepared that entire PDF with all the instructions. Anyhow, there was a lot with the setup. I couldn't tell whether there was a power supply, an antenna tuner problem, an antenna problem, or the radio needed more things to be reset. Back to you, Fred, KD2FIU.
Okay, George, I'm driving in the car. Oh, I have my hat on the radio. That's why it's all muffled. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, great. Okay, I understand. Hey, let me pass it over to, oh, my gosh, Ed Left. Gary. Gary, and Gary, you'll give it over to George and then to me. Okay, go over to you, Gary.
Good morning, George. How you doing? Your HT sounds really good. Where are you located?
Right now I'm in my living room, and that's about 10 air miles from the Glen Oaks site. Hope you're doing well there, Gary. It's been a while.
Are you on a rubber duck?
Yes, I am. And the rubber duck is above my forehead. I hold it up in the air.
That's pretty good. Indoors, 10 miles away on a rubber duck. Not too shabby. Yeah, I'm just sitting here in Douglaston in a parking lot, so don't have much else to say except anything that enhances CW, I'm in favor of. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, well, I'm flying down the Cross Island. And you know what? I was just in Douglaston because I was actually off of Lakeville Road, and I got on the LIE, but I immediately got off the LIE because it was very crowded, and it took me on Douglaston Parkway and then the exit into the Cross Island. So I'm down here where the Cross Island just split in half, and I'm heading almost towards my exit here. I'm heading down to North Whitmere. But, so George, so you did a lot of work at the site. That's great. And I'm always amazed that I see those ladders and how they put up the antennas, the beams that they put up there. And it was the first time, though, that I saw those fiberglass poles that they were using, for instance, the radio that was connected to. What kind of configuration? Was that just basically a long wire? Over to you, George.
WB2EAV is back with some answers.
Yeah, I think that was a drooping inverted V with an ICOM AH4 remote tuner at the feed point to the antenna device. Go ahead, Ed.
I got a good look at the Goda station antenna, which was very similar. There was this pole standing up, which everybody thought was a radiating element, but like I said before, it was only a support. And it was basically a variation of a dipole, where one half of the dipole was hanging off the top of the mast, and the other half was like a counterpoise or a ground plane running across the ground. Does that answer your question?
ATUTF has got to be on the side. Take care, guys.
Wait a minute, Gary. Left side or right side?
I'll have to ask my radiating, non-existent radiating element.
Duly noted, George.
Okay, guys, I got to go. I'm getting a landline at the house over here. And I'll catch up with you a little later on. 73 KD2 FIU clear.
Okay, so long, George. And thanks for the information on the radio.
Fred, did you hear my description of the antenna I saw?
Yes, yes. So, because I was looking at it, and I knew right away that wasn't a radiating element. I got closer and closer. I was looking at it, and you're right. I saw the you know, it was just a support for a wire up on top. And I didn't even see the other side of the antenna, but you're saying that it was laying across the ground. Well, whatever. We got some stations in there, so it worked out well. What radio did you bring?
Well, actually, it turns out the radio that I put mine in instead of was working fine. They were not using an antenna. And also, I am not sure the ground was, you know, that the ground half of the dipole really was working very well. Plus, I was a little disappointed in my performance when I finally, at the end of the contest, got on the air a little bit. And just didn't seem to be getting comebacks like one normally does. But it's a Yaesu FT891. Which, ever since it came out in 2017, I ran out and got one, and I'm madly in love with it.
Yeah, that, I'm thinking now, they had a ground rod, right, and, alongside of that fiberglass. And was the ground rod just the other side of the dipole?
I did see some wire running off, but I didn't, at the time, I had other thoughts, and I didn't pay any attention, but since then, looking back after the fact, I think instead of running a ground counterpoise slash ground plane, we're better off just attaching it to that, you know, that metallic spike dug into the ground to support the fiberglass pole.
Well, maybe for next year we should also make leave behind a little diagram of what the antenna configuration looks like, so if something breaks, someone could jump in there and fix it. Well, you brought me home, Ed. Brought home everybody. So I'm going to get out of here, see what's awaiting me in my home. Thanks for the ride. Have a great day, and we'll catch you around again. 73 from Fred, Kate, if you are.
Perfect timing, Fred. I am here. So you have a very nice remainder of the day. Very, very nice afternoon. How's that? WV2EAV clear also. Thank you.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WB2JKG, WB2NUP.
WB2JKG, working?
Yeah, it's working, but the other one is just far better.
Okay, so shall I make the antenna for this one or the other one? If it's a better equipment.
Well, you decidedly need it for this one. The other one is really kind of okay the way it is.
Okay, so I make it for this one. Shall we go back to the other guy? Because it is a little better. WB2JKG.
That's not a little bit better, it's a lot better. All right, WH1B2SY.
WP2EAV, listening.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I guess you survived the weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. We're wondering what you actually did demonstrating for the kids, manual tuner and all that.
Only one kid. Once we found out that the antenna element itself had fallen off the mast and was lying on the ground, and that's why nobody was hearing us, things started to get better, but we only worked two stations. There was one kid, and just to make sure it was working, I got the first one. Then I handed the kid the microphone, and we were going fine, until the fella came back. And we were doing the, exchange. And the other fellow said, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble. If there's an older guy with a deeper voice in charge, please take the mic. So I took the hint and did it.
Now, I was there. You were not quoting what happened. But I forgot the kid's name. Aiden or something like that?
I didn't know then, and I don't know now.
Okay, well, he signed in. He was in the log. Good. Anyway, I'm just waiting for Alice to come out. I'm in the parking lot. And, otherwise, things went pretty well. There's going to be a what some people call a hot wash tomorrow. Put out an email a little while ago asking for people to comment on their experience so that we can better prepare the next time.
I haven't checked my email lately. I feel kind of disappointed. All the time I spent the field day, I was responsible with or without useful assistance for all of two contacts and all of the last 10 minutes of the contest.
Nonetheless, it was appreciated. I think it was Aiden. He appreciated it. He's a sharp kid. From what I understand, he's 12. Father was there. Don't know his call sign. But it was really interesting. He showed me the control head from a 706 Mark IIG that he bought used. It had locked up. So the optical reader in there, whatever it is, the wheel wouldn't turn. So he got a replacement. But when Aiden saw the 706 Mark IIG that we took out of sideband 2 from the truck, Ian knew it immediately through that radio. Then my father has that.
You said Ed.
I think that was his name.
Now that you mention it, sounds right. But you could have tortured me, and I never would have thought of it. So, I guess it just came to you while you were talking about a different subject. But, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I did see that thing with the turning knob that was way, way, way too tight. All right, but at the time I was kind of distracted by other things. But I find it very frustrating. And here's one thing you might know. I'm the one who, I realized that the actual radiating antenna element for the radio station had fallen off the mast and was lying on the dirt. And we all saw the mast and thought that was the antenna, and then we realized our mistake. Yeah, I think it was you and I put it back up. But I never had a look at the other line, the ground line of the coax. I think it went to some kind of a counterpoise. You know much about that?
Yeah, it was connected to a ground. That particular antenna had a commercial, get the brand, ADG, or I don't remember. They make tuners, and they make transformers. So there was a 9-to-1 unun, one end to the vertical wire, when it wasn't on the ground, and the other one went to the ground rod.
No, I'm quite familiar. I saw the unun and all that, but I didn't have time to look at where the ground wire was going, but it seemed to meander off, but I never saw how far. If it went to the ground rod, that was probably the proper thing to do with it.
Yeah, we've been using that configuration for a number of years. That's generally what we do. We had some issues with multi-station interference. I want to do some experimenting, find a convenient way to reduce the... we have an option to use bandpass filters, at least would keep one band from interfering with the other. Not sure about the digital stations and the CW stations isolated from each. Seems to me if they're on the same band, I don't think you can separate them very easily.
No, I don't have time right now to think about this. I'm here, I got to run. You have a very good afternoon, WB2EAV. But listen for any parting comments.
Okay, Ed. It's always fun to talk to you. We'll hook up again soon, I think. You'll be at the picnic, aren't you?
I don't know. I don't usually like large picnics, but that's just my own mission, Josh. You have a good day. WB2EAV.
Hey, Lou, John, KD2IKX. When is the picnic?
Offhand, I don't remember. It's in, I don't know, it's this month, I think. I guess in 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks would not be this month. It would be July.
That's correct. I'm thinking we're already into July.
I'll figure it out.
Anyway, what I would like to